CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. All right, busy morning. We're off to a good start. We have the full Wednesday complement of the show. I'm afraid it's a boys' club, but I'm sure that a strong, independent woman can handle that. Especially a strong, independent woman like me or Gord.
Ah.
Yes.
You didn't know? I decided this morning I was transgender. I'm a transgender woman for the day. I'll go back to being a man tomorrow.
Sorry to hear it.
All the single ladies. All the single ladies.
Why are you sorry to hear it, Mbulelo?
Oh, that he's going back to being toxic man tomorrow.
Yes, because I would have been a very good long-term woman. But
what makes you think so?
No, I would have been a shit woman.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
I barely think I'm a good man, let alone a shit woman or a good woman or anything else. I think about... Just, I have a horrible knack for taking, you know, perfectly good things and mm-hmm. sometimes fucking them up, which I think everybody does. We all have this destructive streak in us.
Yeah, no one is perfect.
Oh, man.
But everyone is whole.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's wonderful.
All right, so I'm here, Sia's here, Mbulelo's here, and Mfundo's here, and Gord is here, and we're all ready to take you on a little... 2-hour journey of fun and exploration and experience and laughter. Ooh. Hopefully a lot of the latter.
Sounds like the magic school bus.
Yeah, it does. So, by the way, we all climbed into Sia yesterday for the first half hour of the show.
It was a therapy session.
No, it was a little incessant. And, that's what I do think makes us different to all the other shows that you're going to find anywhere in the world is that we really don't hold back and we tell each other the truth. And even though someone like Mbulelo who's new here, mm-hmm. so it just takes abuse every day, which is very good for character building. Mm. And I would like to encourage everybody who listens to us to please pile on when there is someone being victimized on the show, including if that's me, which has happened from time to time, because that to me is real love.
Oh,
I know. I'm asking you to be more vicious, but the fruits of that are growth, the ability to take criticism.
Yeah, you clearly believe in a lot of tough love.
Tough love. Well, you know, I saw a dude this morning when I was driving here mm-hmm. riding his bicycle to school. He's in his school uniform. His parents, because he looked very smart in his school uniform, I'm sure his parents have gone to a lot of trouble to pay those fees and to buy those clothes. And mm-hmm. and he's probably a high school kid, so he's not, you know, a kid. But I suddenly thought, that is something you don't see much anymore. You really don't see it a lot. Kids in suburban schools riding to school. Their mothers take them. If they're really, really rich, they have like someone else taking them to school, a driver or whatever it might be. But obviously this still happens in parts of South Africa where things are a lot tougher, like in the townships, and people walk to school, let alone even have the bicycle. I thought, you know, those are going to be the kids who are going to get ahead in the future. Those are going to be the kids who make a difference. And they're going to be the ones who turn out to be strong adults because they've faced a little bit of adversity. You know, you have a flat tire on your way to work, on your bicycle in the morning, on your way to school.
There's no one to complain to.
No, your mother and father do not give a shit. They're already at work by the time that you hit the road to school. You have to put up with a little bit of difficulty. Maybe if you're walking to school... Your shoes are fucked after 6 months, whereas someone who gets in the car with mommy gets dropped off at school. And I'm saying that as someone who got dropped off at school every day. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have benefited from, you know, occasionally having to make a plan. And I did that at varsity because I didn't have a car for the first year and a half of varsity. I was getting lifts and making plans and shows you how resourceful you can be. You learn a shitload doing that stuff. You learn nothing being coddled. Nothing.
Oh, there are other ways and means in which you can character build, isn't there?
I agree, but everybody seems to think that a little bit of adversity, a little bit of suffering is bad for children. You know, if you can save your children some kind of pain or some kind of difficulty with money, most parents will do that without even a moment's thought.
Suffering is good. How's it, everyone?
What is going on?
Screw everyone.
So is that today, how you're feeling today?
I identify as a lesbian.
First of all, not all lesbians are angry, Gord.
I have been a lesbian inside for a very long time. Always dig chicks.
Is that your lesbian like persona?
MMA. You like MMA as well, huh?
And I like my shoes comfortable.
Where do you shop for your hardware items?
Builders. Got a club membership card.
Platinum level. I sent this picture on the group, the morning show group the other day. It's like one of those plaques in a lift that says what you're allowed to put in. Yeah,
this is going to offend everyone.
It's going to offend everybody. 1,000 kilograms max.
So this is how much the capacity of the lift is, maximum.
Right. Or one horse, 5,050 bananas, 6,666 hen's eggs, 2,941 pigeons, 88 haddock. Did you know that?
Which suggests a haddock is like more than 10 point something kilos.
Yeah, I mean,
because you know I just roll around with 88 haddock.
Which means like roughly if you have 1,000 kilograms, that's 8 to 10 people, roughly.
Yeah. It's more than that. I mean, everyone's got to weigh 100 for that, or 120.
Oh, we've got Afrikaans people. They play rugby.
I'm in there.
It's front rowers. Front rowers.
But yeah. I mean, me and Sia are just adding up to two regular sized people.
Yeah, you and Sia together is like one person, isn't it?
No, it's like 2.5.
Okay.
Well, crap at maths. Carry on with your maths.
And finally, 3 feminists.
Yeah. Good. You see the joke being that feminists are like 330 kilos each.
Yes. However, Gord said, oh, hell, that's funny, which...
I didn't.
You
now you're backtracking.
No, I was being sarcastic. Like, and then how dare you?
Then I put up a picture of this really great-looking fat girl, and I said, fat...
Note to self, the sanctity of the WhatsApp group is no longer a
fat
thing.
Fat triggered noises.
I hear that Kapinski, good old Ken Bobinski, gave up the secret of the High Council. Where, I mean, what better group on WhatsApp than myself, Hi Rob, and Ben to give each other strong life advice?
Yeah, he spoke of that. How long's that group been going?
A couple of weeks. But, I mean, I only bring it up because bloody Ben did, but I won't ever divulge the secrets of what goes in there.
Do you think...
We all have life goals, and we're trying to motivate each other to stay on the straight and narrow.
Okay. So, do you think, like, one screenshot from that group would potentially ruin your life?
I mean, there's a few that could, but there's also a few that are like, go, bro, I got your back, you can do this.
Yeah, it's nice.
Hashtag
happy
get
stuff.
It skirt.
Because I know there are three people who I have foul conversations with. And if those messages were to get released into this world, let me pack up my...
And it's people don't get offended because they know what you're like and they know who you are and they know that you're laughing at this because maybe it's so offsides. Like, Joe Rogan explained a thing that, I'm not sure he kind of invented it, but I saw it on his show where it's like, it's funny if someone's completely offside, like Anthony Jeselnik, because they know they are.
Yeah.
It's when your racist at a bra is telling a racist joke and expecting everyone to laugh like it's hysterical because it's hysterical, that everyone just cringes inside out. But taken out of context, what people say, I mean, I get sent memes by friends, some of which I'm like, this is fucking appalling and it's not funny at all. And sometimes you just laugh and then you're like, oh my God, like I'm going straight to hell for laughing at that. Like this is wrong, and it's bad.
Like the Venn diagrams with the non-vaccinated children and those kinds of
things. Yeah, all
of
that
horrible.
Sort of thing. Like I'm getting really over like what's the word? Like Chinese-centric racism about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's like it was like I kind of got it. Okay, like for a while it's in China, so you know it's gonna have some China-centric jokes. But now it's just like guys, fuck! It's a virus. It can catch anyone. Anyone can catch it.
Well, clearly, then it is spreading like wildfire. Although, again, I see people talking about. You know, the fact that this is not as bad and we've got several things in the world now that we didn't have then. You know, like, for example, we now have vaccines. In the days of the Spanish...
Wait a minute.
What's going on? So I speak in tongues when people talk about the glory of science. Sorry, it's involuntary.
I get
a little flame floating above the top of my head and the tongues come.
It's a wonderful sight.
Shababalaba. So, yeah, vaccines and all of that kind of voodoo malarkey. People have got two things that I've noticed. And like, first of all, they choose that something sounds good and they'd like it to be true. So they think they can believe things hard enough that they become true. Like, the harder you believe it, the more true it is. And the other thing is, believe the headline without reading the article, even if the article is short or clearly bullshit, and not look at the source. My favorite for that is the SouthAfrican.com or .co.za, whatever it is. It's like, Jesus, you are a total fucking idiot. But people go, are like, I read a sentence that was an alarmist headline sentence, you know, and I understand, you know, viruses.
Gord, I've started to post those fake sites just for fun to see who gets swept up in it.
And the long rant, like, you can't say that. Like, yeah, I can. Exactly. You don't have to read anything I write.
I don't, listen, you never know, because I never know whether I'm being serious or not. It's only,
but I know you well enough to know that at least a third of the time, if not closer to the half of the time, you're taking the piss and just trolling people to fuck with them.
But people on Facebook, social media, like, don't get that. Yeah.
It's Facebook, and I'm not a journalist. And if you thought I was a purveyor of news, or that I was someone serious to be considered from an information point of view, we talk about a lot of fun stuff on the show, but a lot of it is complete.
But you are a reader. You're one of them readers. And so you do actually know of things. Like, you read of things and know. Like, reading the headline and then accepting it as a fact, never mind sharing it then and going, OMG, outrageous, vaccines cause, like, I don't know, dead grass or whatever, is the same as going around the library and looking at the cover of every book and going, right, I now know about the history of Japan because I looked at the cover of the history of Japan. But you at least will know whether what you're sharing is bullshit or not. And that's an important distinction. I like to get on the internet and try and, aside from, you know, trying to restrain my ranting and stuff, I like it to be something where I deal with things that for me are fun. Like Butfighter content.
I love when you go on a rant. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I tend to like delete them if they because I always feel like a bit of a dick afterwards, you know? And like, I get a lot of stick for it. Like, I used to, so now I'm like well into my 30s, approaching my 40s, and throughout my 20s, I loved a good rant. I was that oak who was witty about being pissed off about everything. And like, now realistically,
not like a Karen.
No. I mean, yeah, once or twice I've had some bad experiences with Woolworths that needed to be called out. But the point is that like, now I mostly post humorous shit, interesting scientific shit, a bit of like, go get 'em, you can do it stuff. And once every other month I'll write a rant, which I leave up for 3 hours and then go and delete. But still, people who have known me for a long time are like, oh, it's just the act that rants all the time. It's like, well, yeah, 8-10 years ago, maybe.
What,
like,
voice was that?
Oh my god, everything's outrageous voice.
Oh, that's the triggered voice.
No, I can't even accept this. Shit sucks.
Hey, did you see Elon Musk said that Facebook is lame and that people should get off of it?
This is just
like that, right?
Well, I mean, I really do believe in, because I hate like any time a jargon word becomes a jargon word, and now people are like, you're just in your bubble, which is why you don't know any of the things me and my friends are in a bubble about. But it is true, like, yeah, you wrong. Me and my 85 friends who are identical to me all agree about it, so it must be right. There's that whole thing of like, specifically the left, who are way more online than anyone else,
yeah,
and
most,
online
most
with their
online
own friends, and they sit there going, 100% of human beings hate Trump. He got elected. It must be rigged. Every single person on earth hates him. It's like, well, no, it's your 60 friends and the 5 celebrities you worship and their millions of followers, which represents 8% of humanity. And you think that because it's like literally, we hate Trump camp. School for like summer camp, Camp Chippewapi, we hate Trump. And then all
camp
of
Chippewa what?
Yeah, like, you know, one of those school camps. Yeah. It's like, if you go to hate Trump camp and then you go, all human beings on earth agree with me. It's like, you're only listening to people who already agree with you. Mm. But like, you should. I get a lot of randoms and I kind of try to vet them and then, like, you know, accept friend, immediately unfollow. So I've got a lot of people I don't actually know, and it's like, I try to not let millions of complete randoms, but it happens. Anyway, point is, most people are on there just with their friends. People who look like them, act like them, talk like them, that they already know.
They're not there to learn.
So, like, if you basically, let's say you're extremely gay. Imagine, like, try to...
Extremely gay?
Oh, yeah. Well, try to... Can you be... is there, like... Is there semi-gay?
There are degrees of gay.
Like, you're not on a stove, you had one.
There's
is there a 3 of gayness?
Because you can be a straight... You can
have
be a straight woman.
Please. We need examples.
You can be a straight woman and have hooked up twice with another woman, and mostly you just date guys. then you're straight and you've dabbled. Whereas if you're a guy,
dabbler,
yeah, if you're a guy that's behaved straightly most of his life, but boned three dudes, your friends are going to be like, "You gay, bro." So there are degrees of gayness, but there's also degrees of campness. So now imagine you like ultra gay and ultra camp, and everyone you know on Facebook is too. You're going to be like, "We all agree X thing is true."
It's like, well, actually, you'll probably say, "Yoo-hoo!
We all agree.
You're
fabulous."
Depends how gay you are.
Well, yeah.
Only the very gay people get to have this inflection. So then you're going to believe. Jesus, you're going to believe be that that's the whole world, right?
You know, after is last
going
week,
to be like we last week,
where we upset every. I'm telling you, there's going
to
be.
I was trying to bail on last week. For the record, I was doing the cutthroat symbol. Dude, I was shaking my head. I was
some
like,
"Some asshole is going to cut a piece of last week's show."
Yeah.
And it's going to spread.
I even
around.
Said that in the show. I'm like, "Yo, I just need one dickhead to cut this
it's
up.
It's going to be sent everywhere, and then we're going to be the world's worst people." And this week now, it's going to be the gays.
Okay.
Next to that,
I hope no one is intending on.
But hey! the point that I'm making, right, is that I don't know. I love gay people, and I'm not going to have anyone take me to task on whether I'm homophobic.
Yeah,
or not,
well,
especially
probably.
Someone who doesn't know me. But the point is, if you are in those social circles that are like gayness is the vibe, we go to pride things all the time. We like super, it's a huge part of our identity. It's not just our sexuality or gender thing. It's like a massive part of what we're about. Like a metalhead's about metal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of your friends are as well. That's the only part of the world you're listening to online. You're not like, you're like, "I have the right to an opinion and everyone has to listen to it, but I also only have to listen to people exactly like me that agree with me." It's just such an illogical logic loop online.
I don't want us to delve too deep here, but this is a fascinating concept to me because people love belonging, right?
Absolutely.
And I have, for better or worse, in my life, I said what a fuck-up I was at the start of the show, but this is one of the areas I'm a total fuck-up. I don't like belonging. Like, if you said metalheads like to, they like metal. That's part of their identity.
And to identify as metalheads, yeah, and to be friends
minute,
with other metalheads.
The minute I feel like I'm being co-opted into a group, I want to get out, which is very odd. I don't know. It's it's counter-evolutionary.
Mm.
It is counter all the intuition of all human beings throughout life that has ever existed. Because if you don't form part of a society or a group, you usually get left out in the wild and taken out by some predator or something terrible happens. Those people do not survive genetically.
Yeah.
So, look, it's at this point, I reserve the right to change my mind and I might have children at some stage of my life where maybe I find that, you know, all the other things are no longer as...
Given that you stopped aging at about 29, yeah, you probably will always be... I mean, unless someone puts a stake through your heart,
a vampire,
or a Scottish man with a Japanese sword cuts off your head, you will live forever.
God. Probably. I'm glad that you've seen through my ruse.
I have seen that your hair is not a solid object today, though. Were you in a hurry this morning?
I was in a little of a hurry, but the point that I wanted
solid
to make was...
Let's get back to that.
I don't so much like to belong. If you co-opt me into the metal hits, like I like metal music, just not as much as you, but I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like rap, not as much as you, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like history. Maybe
but you
not.
Like the Beatles way more than I do.
Probably,
but you still don't
but,
want
but
to
the
be
minute, like, don't,
have the Beatle membership.
Don't bring me into that. Like, I love sitting and talking with Dory about 80s music, and we did this the other day, and Bulelo joined in, and we were having this big debate about, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. It's not really 80s, but it was a little before, and the Beatles, and then we were talking about 80s music and all kinds of other shit. I love those kinds of conversations, but don't say, "Oh, so you're an 80s fan.
Yeah, I've also
the
kind
minute
of
that happens to me, I want to get the
yeah,
hell away.
Yeah, I found myself like pigeonholing myself a lot in the earlier stages of my life. Like, you know, death to all but metal. Except for when I like hip-hop,
death,
punk, and drum and bass, and
all.
Some electro.
See, that's the problem with you metalheads,
right,
is it's death to all.
Well, not me. I mean, I listen to a lot of other stuff, but I've come to realize later on that there's a lot of stuff that I like that I wouldn't have allowed myself to
it's
like
middle
earlier
ground
in life.
It's
but back to the example, probably the ill-fated career-ending example of gay people. Like, I've got gay mates where you wouldn't realize they're gay until someone tells you or until you pick up a thing after. It could take 5 minutes, it could take 5 weeks to pick it up. And other ones where it's like the first and only thing they want to talk about.
That's it.
And that's the difference.
Like the minute those people who are part of any group, whether it's the
soccer fans, or metalheads,
or white supremacists.
Anything.
Well, now
someone's going to go, Gareth Cliff equates gay people and soccer fans to white supremacists.
Well, sometimes soccer fans are white supremacists.
They are often white supremacists.
If they're Polish.
And they're good at it.
I hope
or
no
English.
Or literally from any country ever.
Yeah. I hope no one here is intending on running for like a presidential campaign.
I definitely am not.
So fucked.
I would take the job if offered.
If this any of us had ambitions of any kind of political career, because you know that there's...
I'm the president of a football supporters club, and that's miserable enough.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gord said, very gay, and I have gay friends within 5 minutes of one another.
Yeah, and some of them, are very like outwardly gay, and some of them are like very, it's not their whole flagship vibe.
Out of context last week.
I get all of that. Like everybody...
But this example doesn't have to be about gayness. You can apply it to absolutely
anything.
You're
trying to backtrack on your terrible example.
I'm just saying it applies to a lot of other things.
He has two gay friends.
As soon as one is very extreme and the other one is a bit more subtle.
Yeah, his name's Jabu.
But people go, I have a friend who happens to be gay.
Yeah, I don't see that about them. Like, if you didn't know, you'd never say it.
It's like when white people go, I have a friend, you know, Mbulelo, who happens to be black. Oh, I thought a white person had that name.
I've got a god nephew who's blonde and blue-eyed, and his name's Tabu.
What happened there?
His dad's dad, they're so white, they're like Aryan. Well,
not right, they're as white as they're white as the Oscars.
They are blonde white Oscars people white. Of Afrikaans stock.
They're white.
And he had the lighty out of wedlock, and they co-parent really well, but they're not together, the mom and the dad. And so the mom, there was a thing of like, whoever gets to choose the first name, the other one gets to choose gets to keep the surname. So the kid's got his mom's surname, and his dad got to name him. Now his dad, the grandfather, the dad's dad, grew up on a farm in Bloemfontein, and he's got one of those, I don't know what it is, but one of those heavy compound Afrikaans names made of surnames, like Stephanus, Hermanus, to Blanche, whatever, and then the surname. And so he was raised like on the farm, and there were like lots of workers on the farm and like a bit of a community on the farm, and from little they just called him Tabu. So this white dude grew up being called Tabu. And
but that's not his real name.
That's not his real name. Okay. But now his sons had a son and decided to name his son after the grandfather.
I have a kid, I name it after my dad,
and my dad's always gone by Tabu. So this kid is called Tabu. And that's it's 100%. Very cool.
Listen. When I was going through the stage of like planning everything for my future, and I write down grand plans, right? And I had named...
Those are plans for your grand, right?
I had planned to take her to the shops. 10 names for if I had girls and 10 names if I had boys as children, and those would be the names.
Well, over the next few centuries, you might father that many children.
That's right. So among them, I would put like whatever names, family names or whatever was most appropriate and that I thought sounded the best. And then I gave them all like an African name as well because I thought we live in Africa. I saw the funniest thing yesterday. It's in a brilliant article on Politics Web, which is worth looking at.
This is the legitimate site.
Yes.
Do they do them some research?
This is not a fake news site at all. In fact, Politics Web is one of the things you should subscribe to because even if you are of a very left-leaning persuasion, it just kind of brings you back to the world of reality. But here's an interesting point that was made by someone called Simon Grindrod. He's not the writer for the Politics Web. I don't even know what Simon does, but I believe he's got some followers on Twitter and a whole lot of things. He said, I do not recall South Africans of European ancestry publicly proclaiming themselves as Africans under apartheid. I was born in South Africa of European immigrant stock. I'm a proud South African, born on African soil, but I cannot claim African ancestry nor African heritage. And someone rightly pointed out, you idiot, Afrikaners called themselves Afrikaner. Afrikaans is Afrikaans for Africans. That's where the word comes from. They thought of themselves in that way from the get-go. They discarded Europe at that stage already.
Yes, they were like mixed on their feelings about that.
Right in the beginning.
Yeah, but you don't need to do research on that one. It's in the name.
Yes, it's such an interesting
thing. I mean, their
thing.
Interpretation was a bit screwed. You were talking about these names and stuff. I'm very interested to know what they were because I find certain naming conventions are so great. Like East Pretoria thing where you I don't know, you combine like your mom and your aunt's name, so you get like Chamune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, no. But I was thinking like, has anybody thought about what their porn star name would be if they were a porn star? I'm torn between two.
Okay, but wait, you've already given Ben his. His is Ken Bobinski.
Ken Bobinski, yeah.
How do yours go?
Okay, so I don't know. I've always been torn between
Lord Gores.
Sunny Bonos and John O'Boner.
That's good.
Why John O?
Because John O. Boner. John who bones O's. And Sunny Bonos as well. So, I mean, it's assumed that this is gay porn, but well, that's where the money's at.
Maybe that's where the money's at.
Especially for a fat hairy oak. And a lot of people wanting to click the thumbs up on my Pornhub channel on the straight porn.
What's the, come on, give everybody else a name.
What's the formula to create your porn star name?
I'll just give it some thought. Oh. I'll have to give it a little, I'll have to get back to you on this.
Because you want
to
find a name that sounds immediately like something sexual is going on.
Yeah. Mm. And it's got to be like a pun, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure, but you know, when you listen to a lot of the girls now in porn have
I used to write under a nom de plume, Paul Smenis, which I always found very entertaining. When I had to write things that it was like going to reflect badly on my actual journalism career.
Paul Smenis.
That was Paul Smenis, yeah. I got asked to write a thing for Hustler once,
people are going to dig this up as well.
No, like I'm saying
you run for president, the Paul Smenis article.
There's an important caveat is that I didn't do it. I was like supposed to, because I was already reviewing content for like a mainstream magazine that wasn't porn, watching a lot of movies and like getting a lot of DVDs in and games and whatever. And then an oak I know got the job as editor of Hustler, and like it just happened to be an oak I know from journalism circles. Yeah. And he was one of those people who started the job.
Was his name Paul Smears?
No, but he started the job all enthusiastic, and like 3 weeks later, because of a shit show of how it was run, and maybe because it stank in the office, I don't know, he quit the job. So he discussed with me that I was going to be like the reviews oak, and I was like, well, you know, I'm reviewing this stuff anyway, but it wasn't porn reviews, it was like the video games and that crap. They have that as well, like the movies on circuit at the moment. And so I wrote one and it never got published, because by the time I was done with it, he had like bailed on the job. He just one of those in and out, screw this, it's not for me jobs. But I wrote it, submitted it, and I submitted it under Paul Smenis. And I wrote a couple of other things, just like opinion pieces and stuff. It made me laugh.
This is funny. Someone says, if you call gay women who just have some fun dabblers, do you call semi-gay guys fondlers?
Well, if they're fond.
We're developing new categories. This is great. Gord says, I love gay people. Have you met all of them? That's the same as people saying that they have black friends, so they can't be racist. Carl.
I love gay people. Have you met all of them? No, I have not met all gay people.
So I love the gay people.
I've been to a few of their jaws, and I'll tell you, it's great.
Super cunty gay people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Like, I'm working at the moment opposite one that, like,
opposite one.
Yes.
You make it sound like,
for God's sake, is this put words in my mouth?
Here comes
Wednesday.
The homophobia.
You sound like an Attenborough.
And there's a documentary. There's a certain.
I was sitting opposite one opposite at my one. Desk the other yes. day okay. and observed his cruelty
so
to the others.
Back to how you were saying there are some cunty gay people. I was saying I was sitting across from a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
And
there we go.
Like, the emotions are like so broadcast. Like, you're working at your computer and then there's like headphones on and
you're being
like,
inappropriate.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, oh my God, really? Oh geez. Like, and it's like out loud things are not going well. And then like 30 seconds later it's a Beyonce track kicks in and we're like literally raving in the office and singing out loud.
Literally.
And it's like, you know, it's that doesn't necessarily make a person cunty, but like there's a lot of like broadcasting of what's going on with me right now.
Mbulelo, why are you nodding?
I was saying, do you work with Sia?
Sia's nasty. Lovely and doesn't complain ever.
Nasty.
Very nasty.
So back to you talking about your
we're done with it.
Your not nice gay friends, Gareth.
No, so what I was saying is that I don't like to belong to any of these groups. The minute I feel like I belong to something, I want to get the hell away.
But do you feel content in that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I respect that in you and that works for you, but I've just never understood it for myself.
See, I'm so glad that for whatever reason, I wasn't born into a community. I don't have any first cousins. I've got second cousins and other distant relatives, but the family itself is small. Obviously, you consider yourself part of that because everyone does. It's your tribe, right? Those are your people. Those are the people you're raised by and with. You think of your brother and sister as being part of that. But beyond that, I don't have, like, a lot of people I know who are in the Italian community, for example, or...
Well, that was a point that I was trying to make, and let's honestly push aside the whole gay thing as an example.
Okay, but like, stop trying to... We've got a record of your homophobia.
Ford, we will support your presidential campaign.
That's exactly my point. Some people are doing their life and they happen to be gay, and other people, it's the whole badge.
Yes.
Same as like some Italian and Greek friends and some of my Jewish friends. It's like the main thing about their life.
Our listeners are not morons.
I know, but you keep reframing it as me being homophobic. And like you say, it just takes one wanker with nothing to do to edit a 1 minute clip.
Listen.
Okay, go
on. You seem like you need to go and punish our porcelain in the bathroom.
I've decided that if that ever needs to happen again, which is unlikely, I'm using the ladies. And I'm going to test, because it's going to be democratic, right? I'm going to test whether it is simply the worst toilet in the world in the men's. If the other one's normal, then we know that the men's one is literally just a broken toilet. Mm. Or I get to evenly distribute the love on non-gender-based grounds.
You can do that.
Goodness.
Can do that. I know people who are very, very attached to the fact that they are ossa, people who are massively attached to their maleness or their femaleness, and it's a big thing, like that fucking idiot Natalie Portman at the Oscars wearing a cape which was embroidered with the names of all the women directors who didn't get nominated, some of whom, by the way, have already won Oscars in the last 6 years. So it's just nonsense. And if such an important part of Natalie Portman's life is being a woman, why doesn't she, in her production
company... She should change her name to Natalie Portwoman.
Exactly. Exactly. She should do that. She should only give projects to women. Oh, she should only make women's films. Let's see how that goes. Because it's just like you are ignoring everything about the surrounding world. And you're trying to... It's so important for you to belong to this group. Because for a lot of people, that's the only way they can co-opt a little the victim mentality. Because they don't actually have... I mean, she's got the best life ever. She lives in France most of the year with her husband. She's making movies. She's got an Oscar already, so she doesn't have any skin in the game.
But
she
we have to liberate ourselves as well. And I mean, this is obviously said with a degree of irony because I've spent the last half an hour doing the opposite. But we've got to liberate ourselves. And this was another thing that I was trying to get to earlier about echo bubbles online. Whatever your shtick is, whatever your jaw is, let's go with metalheads. Like, you've got to, like, liberate yourself from giving a shit. I see, like, especially the young people at various agencies and companies where I go and work. Like, there's a tweet will go out that AKA had, like, a idiot-flavored sandwich or something. And, like, O's gather around the computer. They get, like, so excited. Now, I know what it's like as a kid when I was growing up super into metal and hip-hop, whatever. Like, there was news of a new album or something, and you and your friends, that was all you talked about the whole day. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
Yeah.
But Oaks are affected by it deeply. Like, if two celebrities are having a row, people who are attached to that couple get, like, very upset. The same with the Oscars, Natalie Portman, whatever she did, I hadn't even heard about it. Like, for me, the most interesting thing about the Oscars was I heard that Eminem made an appearance and got a standing ovation from everyone. Suddenly, I cared. I went and looked at that, and I carried on with my life. But, like, if who wins the Oscars and what they wore and the rest of it is anything more to you than an evening of something to watch on TV and a bit of interest about, like, okay, which of these good movies was the best one? It shouldn't be something that affects your life for a week or two afterwards. Like, it should just be something to watch on TV, in my opinion.
Oscars, so white. That's all I'm going to say. I can't, as a woke person, I can't watch the Oscars anymore. Although the Oscars is probably about the most religious an experience that some of the woke people are ever going to have.
Yeah.
And that's what Gord's referring to here, too. If it becomes such a big part of your life that you actually think about it before you go to sleep at night and when you wake up in the morning, and if the outfits those people have got on and their tremendously, like, self-flagellating speeches are what you fixate on, you've got problems.
And it's kind of like, it's sort of understandable when you're younger. Like, when I was younger, there wasn't the internet as it is today, and so to find out about your favorite bands, you had to, like, track down a magazine, or someone would tell you some sort of embellished, interesting information. Oh, one of these guys,
it was hard to find
one of these guys, like, you know, like, went to jail for killing people, whatever, and it turns out that's not true. But, like, I'm still a huge Metallica fan, just to use an example that's relevant. And, like, James Hetfield went into rehab. I was like, oh no, I hope he's okay. He's been sober for 17 years. He's had a hiccup. Like, I hope it works out. Then, like, 4 months later, he's out and he's made an appearance at a car show. And it's like, oh, good. he's out. They're going to carry on with the tour. Seems like things are okay. Goody, goody. Like, if that's your whole life, is to follow someone else's life and vicariously live a life through them.
I think you got problems.
Whatever they are, a football player or a, you know, rights activist or an actor.
We got to move on. Sorry.
Fair enough.
I've got to just
because I'm fixating on a topic.
You were totally fixated.
No, I think I actually want to re-listen to Timothy Maurice the last time he was on the show, because he spoke about this, and he spoke about the psychology behind this, of the value we find in sameness. And I get what you mean.
That's a good point. I remember that conversation.
I think you guys are diminishing it to make it a little too basic than it is.
No, it is. Listen.
There's something to it.
And it's dangerous. We live now in an age of technocracy, right? We're leaving democracy.
What's that?
We live in an age where the nations are built in technology. So if I want to get you a message now, you don't come to the Acropolis and you listen to me tell you the message.
But yesterday I met you at the Times Square.
At the Acropolis.
on your soapbox.
But you go to YouTube and YouTube already knows what you like. We've been talking about feedback loops is the term for what Gord's been talking about. We create, and now really powerful things like Google can feed you the information you want. You know, Democrats can feed you the information they want. So we need to be very careful to think so that we don't get caught up in these things, because it's dangerous. It affects
somebody's
our vote.
Saying quite right, the news is late. Let's get to it. So here are some stories, the five things you need to know this morning. First of all, SARS have got a new system to target tax dodgers. Listen to this. This is from ENCA. Take a listen. Here's Edward Kiswetter.
You can run, but you can't hide. The South African Revenue Service is introducing a new system that will make it difficult and costly to dodge paying taxes. This is part of Vision 2024 to build a smart and modern receiver of revenue. SARS Commissioner.
Tell you about the rest of government not being smart or efficient.
Edward Kiswetter joins us from our Cape Town studio to discuss its new system. A very good morning to you. How's it going to work?
Good morning, Shane. You know, there are three things every world-class revenue authority must be able to do. The first is to clarify and make its citizens aware of their obligation, remove all uncertainty. The second is to provide a seamless service, make it easy to comply for those who are willing. And the third is to make it to detect easy and make it hard and costly for anyone who chooses not to comply.
So that's what Edward Kiswetter says. I mean, nothing groundbreaking there, but it does turn out that the Revenue Service is introducing a new system, which will make it very difficult to avoid paying taxes. And they say that one of the things they're doing is to professionalize data science as a deep discipline, and then to create the capability for supercomputers to work through the volumes of data that they have. Before,
nothing like a few buzzwords to get you relevant.
I hear a lot of that too.
Data science deep dive.
Yeah.
Smart data gathering.
People like
deep insights,
stuff.
Algorithms to mine deep insights from the deep data. Yeah.
Chaos erupted outside the Belleville Magistrates Court on Tuesday afternoon following the appearance of a youth accused of kidnapping a Khayelitsha baby. Karabo Tau denied that she snatched a 2-month-old from Paro nearly a month ago. Clashes broke out between relatives and supporters and angry Khayelitsha community members. Glass bottles and stones were hurled. As was a fire started in the middle of the road outside the courthouse, causing a traffic jam. You know, we really have to find more adult ways of dealing with our anger. And anger is being rewarded in modern society rather than punished. If you cannot control your emotions, no matter how justified they are, and if you set fire to shit that isn't yours, or if you attack people unprovoked just because they have a different opinion to you, or because they've done something which in your mind you feel is an offense to you, then you should be aware of the fact that you can no longer call yourself a part of civilized society. And too many people break the rules of society in order to make themselves feel better or to have an outlet for their emotions. This is the result of bad parenting, childishness, and an obsession with your own emotions, which is deeply, deeply unhealthy. Now, I understand these people are upset because a child is supposed to have been stolen, kidnapped. That would make me furious as well. But the community seem to me that they are so bristling for a fight. They're so so easily triggered into an emotional outburst and possible violence that it almost doesn't matter what their argument is anymore.
It is kind of like something that that comes down to human nature in general. Like people, once reason and conversation, if they've been attempted at all, break down, people tend to revert to a kind of reptile brain thing of like, whoever wins this physical fight now is the one that's right. Now, that's kind of instinctive. To a degree, it's hardwired into us. And the challenge is to, like, you know, evolve enough personally to override that. The reason that the instinct that stays within people, that Thanatos instinct, is because when you are under physical threat or people you love under physical threat, you have to do fight or flight.
Yes.
So it's like people don't understand.
Those conditions these days are rare. Now, let's imagine that you were driving along the road in Belleville. You're actually going to, I don't know, make a delivery for the company you work for. You have got nothing to do with this. You don't know who this child is. You don't know who the kidnapper is in question. You're not involved with the community in Khayelitsha that's upset about this and clearly have time to go and stand around a court because even people who care might have jobs and might have obligations. But now suddenly it's part of your day and your problem. You didn't kidnap a child. You don't know the child. You don't know the mother. You suddenly find yourself in the center of a very complicated social outburst. This is not on. This is like me walking in to a party at Gord's house, and because Bulelo and Sia want to fight with each other, everybody else...
Bulelo would never be invited to a party at my house. Sia would be fine.
Is that because I'm not... Are you saying I'm not...
Let's focus.
Okay. But Gareth, I have some questions for you.
I really hate this. I think it's completely stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You understand the kind of evolutionary and psychological mechanism that makes people freak out and start breaking shit. But we have to keep... It's the same way, like, there's an evolutionary and physiological mechanism that makes you want to poo. But you don't suddenly get the need to poo and just poo on the floor.
Thank you.
You've got to control the fact that,
we had to get to the pooing to understand
this. Because, you know, I totally brought it up just now. Yeah. But that's kind of like a thing where people don't, like, you get a rising emotion and you don't go, okay, well, this is not necessarily necessary now. You just feel it and go with it.
Yeah.
But
hold on. That's how all kinds of horrible shit happens.
But hold on. So violence, you need to put that, whatever it is we're seeing here in context, is violence is, when it happens, especially in crowds, it happens in a context called comparative dissatisfaction. So that's the long term of it. So you can't just analyze it from, I'm sitting here, I'm comfortable, oh, violence is bad. So what they're telling you, if you kind of give yourself the time to go, what's happening with these people is we don't trust our authorities and we've had enough. So the comparative satisfaction for them is it's always like this. Who cares how we respond? Whereas sometimes when you sit here, so comparative dissatisfaction is violence expressed often, yeah.
That was the Thrill Minute with Mbulelo.
And I'm thrilled
by
that was good.
Marks. No,
that
I agree.
Makes a lot of sense.
But it got very academic there, and I feel enriched.
I pulled it back, though.
I feel enriched.
EWN reporting this morning, the National Union of Metal Workers in South Africa said South African Airways business rescue practitioners would be breaking the law if they went ahead with the retrenchment of workers. They may be, but the law might be stupid too. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the union and the South African Cabin Crew Association. Hello. I'm just kidding.
That's also playful your presidential joke. Campaign down the drain.
Just a bit of fun.
Why don't you just put that on me to deflect some of that heat, GC?
The union and the South African Cabin Crew Association filed papers in the Labour Court on Tuesday seeking to interdict the practitioners from implementing job cuts.
Well, so this is a sign of progress, because if the metal workers and the union of cabin workers can come together and work towards a common good cause, then anyone can be homies.
Listen, SAA is going to fail, and then all of you are going to lose your jobs. You're just delaying the inevitable, and you're idiots if you think that the law can protect you in a situation where you've run out of money. You can have all the laws in the world. Stupid people who vote for governments and think that that's all they had to do, and governments who make laws and think that's all they have to do, have forgotten how many other moving parts there are in the machinery. just because there is a law that says you can't just fire people when you run out of money doesn't mean that those people are going to be kept employed indefinitely on someone else's money.
Well, it just gives me a whiff of what is happening at Eskom and how they're overstaffed, but they can't be touched.
Yeah, you just can't be but
we've got labor laws that are completely impractical.
A good friend of mine showed me a picture on the weekend of an SAA flight that some friends or some family, I'm not sure who they were, of hers were like taking the flight.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it as like a selfie, and you could see far behind them.
Mm.
Honestly, there maybe were 6 or 7 other people in the picture. So like,
yeah. What would you book an SAA now?
No, but I mean, people have them booked and like they kind of get on the plane. And
there's probably there's probably more cabin crew in each flight now than there are people.
I mean, like in as far as being able to see a full sort of third to a half of the plane in the picture, there were maybe 6 people. There were three of them and then like 2 other groups of people.
If you're a cabin steward or whatever they call them now, what do you call them?
Air
hostess
or cabin crew member.
Okay, so if you're one of those,
mm-hmm. Did you just say something gayist?
No, I said it. they're cabin crew. Okay.
So if you are one of those and you look around the plane and there's nobody for you to give the chicken or beef to, you realize your airline's in shit.
Mm.
Who do you think is going to keep paying you to have a job? Like, apply your mind. Your survival instincts have been completely uprooted, and you are now operating in a universe of nonsense. You only have that job because there are people paying money to fly on that airline. Mm. If that airline doesn't have paying passengers, you don't have a job. No amount of law or union or intention or wokeness or anything else is going to save you or your job. Go and find other work and stop fucking complaining. You are no longer useful.
Yeah, but at the same time, some people are useful and doing a useful thing, and like you need cabin crew, and like when an airline that employs them, it's the same as like when an ad agency loses a client and has to retrench a bunch of the staff. It's like one end of the business is not being run properly, and one end of the business, assuming the cabin crew are good cabin crew, is being done just fine.
Well, that's part of business those as people, well, though, Gord.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Tough
titties. It sucks for people whose business breaks around them.
Hmm.
And the overpaid CEO person that buggered it up probably gets to keep their job.
You don't have to be the CEO or a business rescue practitioner to know this. If you go to the shop and you got 50 rand in your pocket, you can't buy everything in the shop. You have to find the things that you can afford with your 50 rand. Everyone knows that, even dumb union members.
It also sucks when, I'm sure Kodak had amazing employees who were working on the film and creating those disposable cameras. Well, things have to change, unfortunately.
Well, I bailed out of magazines because I saw it coming, but also just because doing the same job for 8 years, no matter how cool of a
doesn't
job.
Doesn't mean you're a bad person.
No, but a lot of people got stuck in that and kind of really struggle now to apply those skills where they were very skilled in magazines to try and like do something or other in media and marketing that they can kind of manage.
We got to move on. 4 people who survived a month adrift in the Pacific were recovering in the Solomon Islands on Wednesday after an ordeal that claimed the lives of 8 of their companions.
Oh, my God. That's Wilson. One of my worst fears.
Wilson! How good is that movie?
One of my worst fears is to, like, be floating in the ocean just waiting to die.
By the way, I'm convinced they're 8, those other 8.
Well, probably.
Mm,
one of them was a baby.
That's they were actually misquoted. They were like, we 8 people. Like, what?
They're just going to say the other 8 people don't survive. Nah, well, you ate them.
This group are from Papua New Guinea's Bougainville province, and they survived by eating coconuts found floating in the sea and collected rainwater in a bowl during their 32 days adrift. The Solomon Star News reported the group set off from Papua New Guinea, intending to celebrate Christmas in the Carteret Islands. It's Christmas 100 kilometers away. But survivor Dominic Stanley said their small boat capsized and a number of the group drowned. The rest managed to right the vessel, but there were further fatalities as they floated in the remote waters at the mercy of the powerful ocean currents. A couple had died and left behind their baby, and I'm the one who held on to the baby.
Oh,
later, the
no.
baby died as well. Phew.
Rough.
Yeah, that is really
it's a horrible thing.
A phobia because it's unlikely to happen to you by accident. But
it's an ordeal.
I watched a movie based on a true story, like at least 10 years ago, kind of a dramatized based on true events, and like these dudes got left behind on a scuba mission. Like the head count was wrong at the beginning.
I watched that.
There
what
was
is
a
it
mistake.
Called?
But, dude, I could, the deep blue sea or
and
something.
And then the sharks start circling.
Yeah, and then the one dude, the dude just can't hold on anymore. And I mean, then obviously they don't know like what the people's final hours were like, so they've made that out of like artistic license. But the guy goes first and he can't carry on, and they're just like, they've got their flippers and they're just waiting and
open
floating.
Water.
And they know that people are looking for them. They see like a plane go in the wrong direction, and like, I don't know, man, that is. And also just when you're in the deep water, because at least they were in scuba water, like it's deep-ish, but when you're like in the Atlantic, and it's like these waves are more just like rolling mountains that come and go. Mm. You get lifted 50 meters and then down 50 meters, and there's just sea foam, and the water is dark and you know,
cold.
One foot underneath it, it's just blackness.
Nighttime.
And it's cold as hell, and you just, that is
all
right, like.
You've put the fear of God into all of us.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
All right, let's just go to the last story of the morning, which I think is something we've brought up a number of times, and this may lead to a discussion or not, but TV actor Jussie Smollett has been indicted by a special prosecutor in Illinois on 6 counts of lying to police. The Empire actor said he was the subject of a racist and homophobic attack in Chicago last year. Authorities have accused him of staging the attack for publicity, something he denies. He now faces 6 counts of disorderly conduct, special prosecutor Dan Webb said in a statement. Now remember, he said that an unknown chemical substance was poured on him and a rope was wrapped around his neck. He said he was punched in the face by people wearing MAGA hats. Slogan, which obviously comes from Donald Trump's Make America Great Again. Celebrities like Viola Davis, Janelle Monáe, and T.I., along with his Empire co-stars, tweeted messages of support, as did the media, who were quick to report, "Oh, America's a terrible place where this can happen." Well, turns out it was all bullshit, and this guy is now due in court on the 24th of February to account for himself and basically making up. There's so few racist incidents in America now, they have to make them up so they can keep the mythology going.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so complicated. I try to like extricate myself from caring, and I was like, that story, it was like at one point it was he was a terrible victim, and then it was actually his own doing, and then it turned out maybe it wasn't, and then I was like, okay, I can't keep up. At the end, when this is no longer headlines, can someone just sort of fill me in on the summary? So where are we?
That's how little you care.
Yeah, I'm trying. You see, this was my thing about the Oscars and whatever. It's okay to like take an interest, or at least I think it is. Mm-hmm. But when it becomes, when this Oaks trial becomes the main thing going on in your life,
you've got a
that's
problem.
Not really healthy. So where are we now? It seems like it was all bullshit. That's what the current. Bullshit. That's what it's pointing to currently.
That's why he thought he'd got away with it, because even though he'd staged this elaborate hoax, and he'd got the sympathy and the media attention he needed, and it was ironically at a time he was negotiating his next contract for Empire with whoever the network is, Fox. That are doing it. Anyway, it turned out that he's not going to get off scot-free. He is going to be taken up on these charges, and I hope someone like this gets put in jail. Mm. Police time was wasted. The furore and the unnecessary noise and division and bullshit that it caused, which was clearly manufactured, needs to be put in its place. Outrage culture needs to be smacked in the face too. And Jussie Smollett should not be considered a responsible adult human being until he can show, and he hasn't ever apologized to the police or anyone else for making
I don't think he'll ever work.
He paid 2 Nigerian dudes who've disappeared since.
Have they like legit disappeared?
Yeah, they disappeared.
No, well, so people don't know who they were.
They were arrested, but they've disappeared into the noise of the story. Okay. I think they should be brought into court and have to account for themselves too. The fact that someone is so sick in the head that being a victim is such an important part of your existence, this identity thing, that you need to stage a nonsense hoax, means you have major problems, and you're not allowed to inflict those problems on society.
And in that, in the context, in the times we're in, as a black gay American, for him to play on that is so sick, because it is. Many people are real victims. It's
absolutely.
Like it's like women that fake
rape,
abuse. Yeah. It's like that is so perverted, because there's really horrible stuff happening.
You take credibility
you're spitting
away
from, in the face of real victims, and I think that there should be consequences. Anyway, we'll leave it alone, because we've got so much to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a lot to say this morning. You can join in that conversation. You've got a lot of messages that we want to get to, 0797482090. It is 7 o'clock exactly.
Cliffcentral.com.